All right, well, today is going to be a great day because God's word is going to be taught. And you know what? He gets all honor and glory from it. But if we could turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to focus today on verses 1 through 15. This is a unique text because in this text, I think we've all began to understand what is happening within the church in Galatia. And we understand that Apostle Paul is trying to address certain things, and he keeps going through this theme of making sure that we understand that we are saved by grace and faith. And through our faith, we receive his grace. And you know, that is something that is powerful, but how many know the concept of that can be a little bit difficult to receive at times? And that's what he's trying to address, is the nature of his goodness and his love and his power that is working through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for all of us. But there are some people, some individuals that just don't get it. They felt that they had to continue in certain ways of the law. They had to continue in order to look righteous, to look the part. And really what Apostle Paul is trying to say is you don't have to do that to look the part anymore. So let us read verse 1 through 15, and it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom. Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And this is God's word. Can we say amen to God's word? Amen. You know, it's interesting that we have this conversation. I don't know if you're like me, but maybe some of us have been to a restaurant before. Maybe you've gone and you had dinner with maybe some friends, some family, and you had a great time. And then all of a sudden, you're laughing, you're catching up on everything, so this moment is just pretty high right now. But then comes the check, right? And in having the check, some of us might be full of the Holy Spirit of God, and because we feel this unction, we want to go ahead and pay maybe for everybody who is having dinner with us, right? And then we go ahead and pay. We don't make a big deal about it. We pay quietly. We move quietly in that, but continue to have this enjoyed time with one another. But there comes a time where you have to leave the restaurant, right? And as you get ready to leave the restaurant, then all of a sudden somebody asks, "Hey, where's the check?" And then all of a sudden you say, "I went ahead and took care of the check for you guys." And then comes the reaction. Everybody probably has seen this reaction in one state or another, but there's this reaction of no. No, you, no, 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 you can't get the check. No, we've got to do something. That was probably really expensive. I've got to, you know, let me Venmo you. Let me Cash App you. Let me give you like something from Zelle. Let me just make sure we pay our part, right? There is this obligation to make sure that what we feel in doing something, if somebody does something very kind, we want to make sure that we play a part in it. But here's the thing that Apostle Paul is trying to say to the church that is having a little bit of a situation of understanding the freedom of the salvation. They have this struggle with it, kind of like we would have this struggle for dinner. There's this concept, and I don't know if it just comes from the nature of our flesh or the nature of our society that is so performance driven. I don't understand, but there are moments where people are trying to do something that's Holy Spirit filled, and then basically we're like, no, you can't do that, because sometimes we have this problem with free. But Apostle Paul is trying to make sure we understand this, that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. See, Paul is understanding this is not about a dinner. This is about salvation. This is about grace. But yet he's confronting this issue that has to do with performance. We have to understand when it comes to the law, and especially this word circumcision, it's a physical act to a body trying to say that you are now looking, you are a part of God. That is what it's trying to say. But really what Paul is trying to say is no, now that we have a Savior that came, he died, he rose, he ascended. Now we have the Holy Spirit. The work has already been done. We have now been set free. We are free from the obligation of performing. Now we are free from this thing called sin because of the work of the cross. Can we get an amen on that? I am sorry, I feel a little preachy today, so if I start preaching, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. The thing with understanding the goodness of God is that in our heart of hearts, in our flesh, we sometimes can get in our own way, right? We start thinking that we have to do something. We have to make something happen in order to look righteous. And Paul is talking to them and to the Galatians, and he's like, they believed the gospel at first. They accepted Christ by faith, but now there's this back step. And it's like what Kevin was saying last week. Don't go backwards, continue to walk in faith in Christ. And I think that's the message for us today. Let us not go backwards with obligations that we have in our minds that we need to look righteous. Let us continue to walk in Christ in faith. Amen. So as we understand this, it's like they're reaching for something to prove a point, to show that they, the Galatians or the Judaizers that we understand that were creating this dissension or this confusion amongst those who are newer in the faith, that, hey, you have to not only believe in Jesus, but you have to add on these things as well in order to look like Jesus, in order to be saved. And Paul is trying to say, no, you cannot do that. You cannot try to do something that has already been paid for. You can't do it. And that leads me to our first thought today. We cannot perform our way to righteousness. That is something that we have to understand. And I understand, like I said earlier, the culture that we live in is so performance driven that sometimes we perform and perform and perform, trying to look a certain way so that people may respect us a little bit more. So maybe people may love us a little bit more. And maybe because of how we perform, we think God is just going to love us that much more. But we have to understand Christ already loved the people in Galatians. And we have to understand that Christ already loved us. He already loved us through the mess that we were part of. He already loved us, and that's why he was willing to lay his life down for us. This is a work that we could never, ever do that Christ did. We have to understand, even as he says in the verses 2 and 4, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. And you're severed from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. These are some pretty big words that Paul is using, pretty bold language that Paul is using. See, if you and yourself are just saying that out of your own performance, you're going to become more like Jesus, it's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, it kind of gets us to the place where we're just performing. But we have to understand that this performance has already been done for us. This walk has already been walked for us. This death that came on the cross has already been died for us, all because he loves us. He loves us. So what are we saying? That there are moments and times where we have to take up our own performance. And I don't know if you're like me, but there have been moments in my spiritual walk with Christ where I personally feel like I'm going to pray the guilt away sometimes. I feel like I need to be a part of so much so that I can look more spiritual. That's the temptation sometimes. Sometimes we can read our Bibles, not because of transformation, not because of closeness to God, but because we want to feel caught up and maybe have some special favor on us. We try to look holy through our appearance, through our association, and sometimes our ideology. But you know, I have to share with us that that can be a trap in today's world. That can be a trap because sometimes we neglect the work of the Holy Spirit who's doing a work inside of us. And sometimes we may ignore what the Holy Spirit is really trying to say to us so that we can perform and look a certain way. If we do a spiritual inventory in ourselves and then find ourselves saying that we're going to pray the guilt away, that is praying because of some kind of act of, I feel like I need to perform so God can see me. Sometimes I gotta serve so that I can be seen. And these things can be performance driven. But I want us to understand in today's world, this is not just an old thing. This is not old legalism. There are things that, yes, they did call circumcision, but I want to share with us today that there are some modern day legalistic mindsets that we can carry if we're not doing a spiritual inventory of what the Holy Spirit is trying to work in and through us, right? We have to understand in this modern day that there are things that have been stated. Some of us may have heard this, but you're not really a Christian if you don't vote this way. Hey, I think some of us have heard that, right? If you parent this way, then you're just not godly. Now, that goes to maybe some social media reels when we try to look at some things, but sometimes we can feel that way. Some real believers, if you're a real believer, you just don't struggle. You're not supposed to struggle that way. You can't hang with those people and still claim to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I know that there are good habits that we can have in our lives and we should have in our lives, but if it's out of our own unction and our own strength and our own mindset, and basically we could potentially be falling into this trap of performance. So I want us to remember something today. He has already fulfilled a work for us that we can never fulfill. He has already set us free from an obligation that would say that there's a standard of God that you need to look like and be like. He said, I came so that you could observe that he is God, that being Christ Jesus. He came and did a work that nobody could do to show, once again, he is God. And there's nothing that we can perform or do on our own merits that will do what Christ did on the cross. So if we are relying on our efforts, our associations, our political identity, our social performances, or this concept of grace is not going to be effective for our walk with Christ. If we're just going out to perform, it's not going to be effective. That is what Apostle Paul is saying to the church in Galatians, and that's something that we need to hold on in our own lives. If we're doing these things on our own merit to look a certain way, then to use the bold words of Apostle Paul, then this thing, and Christ becomes no advantage to you. Wow. But if we keep looking and if we keep striving and if we keep thinking that we can do it on our own merits, it's not going to work. But what are we supposed to do then? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to walk? How are we supposed to live then? If I'm not going to perform my way into this, what do? We have to receive by faith that Christ actually did the work already for us. Now we get to live by the power and nature of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And that's the second thought today. We live by the Spirit, not by striving. We have to understand in verses 5-6, it says, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You see, Apostle Paul is really trying to tell the church that this Christian life is not about trying harder. It's about learning to trust him deeper. In everything that we do, in everything, in how we walk, in how we act, in how we talk, it is learning to trust in the work the Holy Spirit is doing in us. See, we're not saved and we're not going to grow by our own effort at all. We are saved by the transformed work of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us every single moment of every single day, by the power of the cross, by the great gift giver who sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our everyday walk. It is him who is going to help us. It is him who's going to teach us. It is him who's going to confirm and affirm the things that we are to live and walk by. It's not by our personal thoughts or our good intentions. It's going to be his Holy Spirit. It's his Holy Spirit. So that means we're walking with the Holy Spirit who grows us from the inside out. This is about you becoming, it's not about you becoming perfect overnight, honestly. It's about learning to walk in step with the Holy Spirit day by day. Meaning, whenever we are reading the Word of God, just to make sure that this is not a concept to make myself look holy, this is something that I want to grow in. Holy Spirit, would you lead me as I read this text? And if there's anything inside of me that does not look like you, Holy Spirit, would you help me remove or help me move away from the things? And we are then, by faith, trust in the work that God is going to do in our lives every single moment of every single day. It is him who's going to guide us in these perspectives. For the person who's new in our faith, sometimes this can be a little bit of a struggle because there are moments where we have fallen short of so many different things in our lives to the point where you feel like you have to fix yourself before you come to the knowledge of Christ. Sometimes you feel like you have to clean yourself up before you give the next steps in your faith. But I want to remind us today, for those who are new in your faith, or maybe for those who are having questions about this thing called Christian life, I want to let you know that this is a life understanding that he has already done the work for you. And now it is time for us to just abide in his power and his grace and believe in faith and continue to move and ask the Spirit of God every single day, how can I keep walking? How should I talk? How should I decide? How should I move? And then by the Holy Spirit, his unction, it is by him through the reading of Scripture that he will illuminate the things that we need to do. It's going to be him who clearly states the direction we need to move in. See, I think today in this world we live in, we have this hard concept of walking in that mindset because we feel like we have to prove ourselves to something, right? We have to prove ourselves to show that we are righteous. And the hard concept is, we don't have to. He loves us. And if I trust and believe, if I submit my life to him, if I surrender, I need to trust in the work and the power and his love every single moment of every single day. And I need to trust in the fact that the Holy Spirit does live inside of me. And I have to trust in the fact that the Holy Spirit is leading me. You know, some of us have been at this for a while. Some of us are mature in our faith. And I would say the reminder of us when reading a text like this is that we don't graduate from grace. You see, the more we mature, the more we should become more dependent on his love, his power, and his Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. And the deeper we grow, the more we realize that the Spirit doesn't just help us grow. He leads the whole process, you see. So what do we say on this? So whether Jesus is new to you or whether you've been in this a long time, we need to remember this is not about striving. This is not a performance type of religion, but this is a real relationship that is led by the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And it's interesting how Paul ends some of this statement that we were just looking over. He says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You see, it's not about what you've done or what you haven't done. It's not about your background. It's not about church attendance. It's not about your political affiliations. It's not about your image. It's not about the rules you keep personally. What matters to God is, do you trust him? Do you trust in the work that he is doing in your life? Are you trying to get ahead of the game because you feel so much angst on something that you're trying to do it in your own merits? Could we just take a step back and trust who he is? Do you trust him? We have to remind ourselves that that is the calling of a Christ follower, to walk in trust of who he is. See, we understand that there is a work of love that he has done through the cross for our lives, right? We understand that he came and he did something we could not do. We understand that now, but let's just say this. There are some good habits that we make in our lives. There's good things that we do in our lives. There are people who work out every single day. There are people who read their Bible every day, but sometimes if we're not taking that spiritual inventory like we're saying, we can get caught up in a performance-driven thing if we're not careful. But how do we do a real spiritual inventory? Well, it's really like this. We take a moment and we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. And by no means am I saying that the church attendance is a bad thing. By no means am I saying that habits or good habits are a bad thing. I am saying that hopefully that we fall so in love with Christ and we trust him so deeply that his investment through the Holy Spirit and the work in our lives will challenge us in areas and the places that are hit the most, the places that have been traumatized, the places that are hard, the places that are full of sin. Hopefully it's the Holy Spirit that is leading you away from those things. And hopefully that we get to see and discern and even feel the love of God, that it oozes out of us into our marriages, into our parenting, into our jobs, into every area of our lives. And that is what Apostle Paul is saying. Hopefully we can understand what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, because the work of the Spirit is working inside of us. That is what he does. And that's what I want us to be reminded of today. We are not walking this walk alone. We do have a helper named the Holy Spirit. He helps us in every single day's opportunities. And here's what I will say in our third point. The Holy Spirit is our source of strength, growth, and freedom. Now, I want you to hear me on this. The Holy Spirit isn't Robin off of Batman. He is not your sidekick. We have to understand he is not your sidekick, because the moment that we keep him in our mind as our sidekick, as that person we can go to every now and again and get their advice every now and again, is not what the Holy Spirit is meant to do in our lives, you see. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit was a very real presence. He is the Spirit of the living God, who was a part of the process of resurrecting Jesus from the grave, who was there in the beginning of time. That is the person who lives inside of us, meaning we should not ignore what he's trying to share with us and when we need to navigate through life. We should not ignore the fact that he is available for us. He is ever available for us. But we need to recognize his presence every day so that we can continue to have this strength when we're weak, so that we can continue to grow, so that we can continue to know what freedom is. You see, the Holy Spirit, he convicts us when we drift. He empowers us when we're weak. He leads us when we're unsure. He teaches us when we don't understand. He frees us from this fleshly obligation of guilt and shame. He can walk us through that process, but we have to dive into who he is every single moment of every single day. You see, When we do it in our own willpower, we will struggle. When we do it on our own might, we will struggle. When we try to persuade God in our own ways, determining and dictating to God how we should move or how we should live, we won't win that one. But we have to understand that there is a presence who lives inside of us. It's not going to be through your willpower. It's not going to be through your routine, but it's going to be through His Spirit who helps us. And may the Holy Spirit be our guide, be our comforter, be our teacher, be that person who strengthens us when we need it. Because how many know in today's world, in today's context, with everything that is happening in this broken society, we need His help. We need His assurance. We need His power. We need His ability to speak to one another. We need His ability to understand what love is and to share that love. We need that commitment from Him because that is the only way we will thrive in this walk with Christ. It doesn't mean that we won't go through things. We absolutely will go through things. It doesn't mean that He won't call us to repent of things. He absolutely will call us to repent of things. He will absolutely call us to walk in the likeness of who Jesus is. And there are moments and there are seasons and there are times where He will direct and make sure that we understand what freedom looks like in Christ. Amen. But even as I share that, we have to understand in our fourth thought, freedom isn't a license. It's a calling to love. Amen. You see, in verses 13 through 15, it just suggests to us, you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That's what it suggests to us. See, you can see Paul is giving the other side of the coin. We have to understand this, that even though we talk about this concept of grace, sometimes people can talk about grace in such a way that you can do whatever you want to do, and that's not what Paul is trying to suggest here. You see, if we do what we want to, if we live in our freedom in the flesh, then that is flesh in disguise, honestly. It doesn't mean, like, when we talk about the word freedom, it doesn't mean free to do whatever you want. It doesn't free us from boundaries. It's not freeing us to do and live in our flesh. You know, freedom isn't an absence of boundaries. It's the presence of His Spirit leaning into love and leading us to love. You see, I have just a thought on this. There are moments where we do want to take this liberty of freedom to do what we want. As a matter of fact, the other day, Jessica and I, we were watching some people sing karaoke the other day. And quite honestly, there is a young lady who had, I would say, in the nicest, godliest way possible, no voice at all. But, you know, karaoke has a way of freeing people. You know what I mean? You get it. But even in this freedom that she chose to take on, she decided to sing I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. And the looks on the people's faces is like, this is karaoke. Yeah, you got your freedoms, but there are some limits now. But as crazy as that may sound, that's how crazy it is to live in the flesh and to categorize it as our freedom. That's what it's like. That's how weird it is. That's how weird it looks. That's how weird it can feel. Just taking these obligations to say, I can do this, I'm covered by grace. No, no, no. Hopefully we can get this. Hopefully we can understand that we're growing in such a way in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is leading us in such a way that we are falling more in love with Christ and we discern and see His love. And like I said earlier, it oozes out of us. Hopefully it helps us understand that this is a freedom now to love. No longer am I obligated to this law that shows a standard. That obligation has now been fulfilled through the power and the walk of Christ. Now I am no longer obligated to the trauma and the issues and the pain of this world. I have now been freed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And hopefully I can place that in my heart and in my mind. And not only that, hopefully we can have faith and understand and trust in the fact that he is still at work. And not only is at work in the people that we know, but he's in our lives right now. Hopefully we can understand that. Hopefully by the Holy Spirit, he guides us in remembering this every day and every single moment that we're living and walking this life. Because let's face it, yes, things do get hard. Yes, pain will happen. Yes, trials and tribulations will come. Yes, there will be weird statements about theology where they try to add something to the knowledge of Christ, saying and dictating, you need to do this and this and this in order to look like Jesus. But Holy Spirit, would you continually teach us, guide us, empower us to be reminded that that work has already been fulfilled. Amen. The baby said amen to. Hopefully we can be reminded of that this morning. Hopefully we can come to a place where we're living in a non-obligated type of faith. We're living in a faith that it calls upon us to have relationship. And a relationship that is so alive and is so real. And a relationship that we understand could not be done alone, and that's why he sent his helper, the Holy Spirit. And this relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit should not be numb. It should not be ignored. It should be observed every single day because he is available to teach you, walk with you, guide you, empower you, and love you through things. It is him and through his power right now that he can do certain things in our lives that we cannot do by our personal striving and our personal performance. It is by his work and his work alone that you can find that love that you've been looking for all the days of your life. It is through the new patterns that the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us through, that can guide us and teach us on how to not observe the things of the flesh, the things that have held us for so many years. He can give us new pathways, new people to be around. He can do those things. He can guide us in all of those opportunities, but hopefully we are people who are listening, and hopefully we are people who are diving into that kind of relationship. Sometimes when we look at our faith, I know we are in a hurry. Sometimes we are in a hurry to be perfected. I get it. I want to be perfected too. Sometimes we are wanting to be perfect in all of our ways. We want to hurry up and be perfect parents. We want to hurry up and be perfect kids. We want to hurry up and be perfect people in the areas of work. We want to be perfect people in all the things that we do and achieve. But really, we have to remember that it's the Holy Spirit who's going to guide us in the moment at the right time for us to deal with the things that we need to deal with. And he's going to help us walk through the areas that we struggle with and lead us into a place of freedom by his work, his power, by his reign over our lives. And today, I just want to make sure that we understand that this concept of grace is available for every single one of us. And I know a lot of us understand this grace, and I know a lot of us are walking in this grace. But yeah, there are times, and we had a spiritual habits and spiritual growth plans, and our hope and our prayer is that you didn't take that as a moment to perform, but you took that moment to really pray and discern what the Holy Spirit is leading you in, to really pray and discern how God is going to guide you into this next step. That's what we desire to see here at Legacy. You see, whenever we are thinking of growing more mature in Christ, we're not doing it by this own ability. And yes, God has given some of us some radically great intellect in this place, but it's not going to be by your intellect alone that you can get out of everything. There are times where you just got to call on the name of the Lord and trust him deeply. to move, to guide you, to enlighten you on how to navigate the things that are happening in your lives. So I want to challenge us today, right now, that, you know, some of us are living like salvation depends on our discipline. Salvation depends on our work. Salvation depends on our performance. And quite honestly, for being honest, this thing called performance is wearing us out. It is wearing us out. If you're in a place right now where you do acknowledge that there have been some places where you are taking up your own strength and trying to make things happen for yourself, this is a moment in time where we are about to sing one more song. But I want to invite you to a moment of prayer to really think through some things, to walk through some things, to discover some things today. This is a moment to lay down your performance, to stop trying to prove yourself to everybody, to stop trying to prove to everybody that you're good enough, to stop trying to prove to Jesus that you're good enough. We need to remember the Holy Spirit is the one who affirms his work in our lives. And we need to allow him to lead us today. And yes, there are some of us right now that need this perspective and understanding so that we can take this next step and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to be Savior of my life. I need you. Maybe there are some of us who've walked in a way that we wouldn't say is a born-again life or a life of salvation, but maybe you've had a question mark about what this is all about. And really, like I said earlier, you can't do anything that performs what Christ has already done. He loved you. He loves you. The work he did was for you. And all we have to do is trust and believe, have faith. That work he did was just for me, for those around me, for those who need to hear around me. I want us to take this moment as we pray to think on these things. And what we're going to do today, there might be some of us who even want to take a step and ask somebody to pray for us. And I'll be up front. Pastor Justin will be up front. Shelby will be up front. And anything that you want to pray through these on, if you feel that there's a real struggle on certain things, we're here. I want to make sure that you know this time and this moment is available for you. But can we bow our heads together? Father, right now, we thank you. We thank you that the work that you did on the cross fulfilled a work that we could never perform in. We thank you for your love that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all of us. And it is through that work, and it is through that love, and it is through that power that you still work today. And we receive, for those who are in Christ, we receive your Spirit to do and challenge us and equip us in the ways that we need equipping. But Holy Spirit, would you deal with our hearts in the areas where we're just getting in the way? Would you just guide us in the mindset that you want to take the control in the areas that we're trying to hold everything together? The areas that we are saying that there's Jesus plus something. Holy Spirit, would you reveal those things to us? And would you help us in how we are to walk a non-performance-based life, but a life that is lived by your holy presence in us? Father, for those who have never received you as Lord and Savior of their lives, I ask, Lord, that this would be a moment they feel comfortable enough to declare that you are King and Lord of their lives. Whether it is now, whether it is after service or maybe during the week, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you begin to work on all of our hearts Even for those who are maybe watching online, I just ask, Lord, that you work on all of us so that we may discern and see what it is that you clearly have for us, what you clearly want us to walk away from. May it not be dictated by anything else but you, by your word. We trust in you deeper. We commit ourselves, if there's any commitment, if there's this relationship with you that we want to thrive in. But Holy Spirit, lead the whole conversation. Lead us as we move into this world. And in the places where we are struggling with sin, secret things, Holy Spirit, would you begin to work on us? Would you begin to deal with our hearts on those things? Teach us, oh God, how to be free. Not only free from the law, but free from the things of this world. We love you, oh God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.